Welcome to the Shine Faith Podcast, where we explore topics related to faith formation for children, youth, and adults. Shine Curriculum is co-published by Brethren Press, the publishing house of the Church of the Brethren, and Menno Media, the publishing house of Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite Church Canada. Shine is also used by more than 17 other denominations and fellowships. We create faith formation resources for church and home that encourage children and youth to love Jesus, grow in faith, and change the world. I'm Shanna Peachy Bushart, the project facilitator for Shine Everywhere, the Faith at Home initiative of Shine Curriculum. Today, we're going to discuss the book, Handing Down the Faith, How Parents Pass Their Religion On to the Next Generation by Christian Smith and Amy Adamczyk. The research and analysis in this book inspired the Lilly Endowment's Christian Parenting and Caregiving Initiative. And in 2023, Shine received a grant from this initiative for the formation of Shine Everywhere to equip parents and the congregations that support them as they share their faith and values with their children. Shine staff and publishers read Handing Down the Faith when they were developing Shine Everywhere, and then Joyce and I came along later and read it as we got started in our new roles with Shine. The book reports on research done by Smith and his colleagues in 2014 and 2015 through 215 personal interviews with parents who belong to churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples in various places throughout the U.S. This study explores the background beliefs of how and why religious parents seek to pass on their religion to their children. With me today are Joan Daggett, the project director for Shine Curriculum, and Joyce Peachy Lind, the Shine Curriculum editor. Joyce, what caught your attention in this book?
Good morning, Shanna. Well, it's clear from the results of this research that Smith and Adamczyk have observed that parents and caregivers are the most important influence in shaping the religious lives of their children. And I appreciated that they also asked the question, why are parents the crucial players? And they have a thesis that they spell out in chapter 3. And their theory is that changes in society over the last several generations have shifted the sphere of influence. And they describe a shift away from religion as a community solidarity project to religion as a personal identity accessory.
That sounds really interesting. What does that mean?
Well, as I understand it, it's a shift away from congregations as a center of local community life towards religion as something that's very personal and a part of one's identity that people choose for themselves. A couple of generations ago, religion and churches were much more central to the community and helped shape the faith of members of a community. Members of a community often had common religious values, and people would come together around shared practices, shared rituals, and celebrations that were rooted in their faith communities where they were. But then in the late 20th century, religion shifted, and it has become more personal. Now membership in a community is more of a personal preference, and it's maybe become even more individualistic. So, for example, you don't necessarily attend the church down the street, but you might end up driving 20 minutes away because of a preference for a different kind of faith community. In the past, what was taught at home was usually reinforced by the religious community that surrounded the family, but that often isn't the case anymore. And this means there's a higher burden on parents and caregivers to make choices about religion on behalf of their families. And in addition, the authors observed that religious institutions don't have the same kind of authority or influence that they had in the past. So if faith is to be passed on, it must be done by the parents. And I'll just note that the authors aren't really making a judgment about this shift. They're just simply reporting what they've observed. But they do go on to say that because religion has become much more a part of personal identity, it's important to cultivate self-reflexivity in children. Without the authority and the influence of the community, children need to learn skills of self-awareness, and they basically need to know, it's important for them to know who they are and what they believe. As parents talk with children about faith, they can help give them vocabulary and help them know how to articulate their own faith. Engaging in conversations and being open to children's questions about religion and faith can send the message that those are important topics, and it shows that spirituality, it's an important part of life. So that's what I took from it, and I'm wondering, Joan, what were your takeaways from this study?
Well, I was particularly interested in chapter 7, which is entitled Parents' Expectations of Religious Congregation. Smith and Adamczyk says that overall, the parents that were interviewed were happy with their congregation, but they considered themselves as having the primary responsibility of transmitting their faith to their children. What parents want from churches is moral instruction, a sense of community, fun activities so that children will want to attend, and friends. So it's not so much instruction in theology or doctrine. One thing that did surprise me in this chapter is that parents today are spending much more time with their children, as much time with their children as parents did in the 1960s, even though there are more single parent families and families with both parents working outside the home. They are invested in their children, so I guess it's not so surprising that they see it as their responsibility to share their faith and values with their children.
Yeah, thank you. I think the thing that struck me about this study was the significance of talking about faith with your children as a parent. They point out that when you talk to children about your faith, you're giving them this kind of second language of faith, and in order to sort of participate in the faith community and have that be a priority, you need to learn that second language of faith. They also talk about how when parents talk to their children about faith, it signals how personally important religion is to the parent, and it helps in that transmission of value by modeling that value. And then they also teach their children, they say, during the ordinariness of life, how and why religion matters for the rest of life and for the world outside the religious compartment, which totally makes sense to me. Like, as you talk about faith and give your children the vocabulary of faith, it helps them to be able to express for them, articulate for themselves why faith is important, and articulate in such a way that all the way down to the nuance and the detail of life, not just sort of like vague generalities, right? The more we talk about it, the more we kind of own it for ourselves and understand it more deeply.
Shanna and Joan, you've both been working on our new initiative, Shine Everywhere, that came out of this the research from this project, from this book. And you've been working on this since last fall, and last week we launched the Shine Everywhere website. And both of you have been part of the dreaming and planning for this project. So I'm wondering if you could say a bit more about the grant and the Shine Everywhere project. What are your goals for Shine Everywhere, and what are your hopes?
Well, actually, Joyce, the seed for Shine Everywhere was planted over a year and a half ago. Shine's leadership team had a retreat with Karen Marie Yost, who's the author of Real Kids, Real Faith. And there we talked about the important role of parents and caregivers in the faith formation of their children. So out of that retreat, we began working to strengthen our at-home resources and create new ones. During that time, much of our energy was directed toward communicating that our new storybook Bible, The Peace Table, was something that parents and children would enjoy using at home. And then came word of the Christian Parenting and Caregiving Initiative of Lilly Endowment, Inc. And wow, we couldn't help but apply. this initiative just resonated so much with what we were already shifting our focus to, which was to build connections between church and home and between families so that parents can be supported in this important role of sharing their faith with children. Our hopes for this initiative were and still are very practical. And as I was looking back at our grant proposal, we said that we wanted to, one, create a network of churches and families for listening, mutual support, and feedback about pilot faith practice resources. And number two, produce a suite of practical, joy-filled faith formation materials from an Anabaptist perspective that appeal to diverse households and help congregations resource families in building the language and daily habits of faith with children. We said we wanted to translate conversation about spiritual practices into practical applications for families of faith, and thereby weaving what we call cords of connection within households and between church and home. So once we were awarded the grant, we turned to searching for someone to lead and facilitate this important project, and we found Shanna.
Thanks, Joan. Well, currently we're offering three levels of involvement in Shine Everywhere. At the deepest level, we have what I'm calling the Leaders Listening initiative or project. And this is where a pastor or a lay leader in the congregation identifies some specific questions that they want to ask the parents of the congregation. And then I walk with them to help them decide on a format for asking those questions. Sometimes it's a parent meeting, getting all the parents together and having a conversation. Sometimes it's individual interviews. It's whatever works in the context of that congregation for that leader. So I guide them through each step of this process, helping them to figure out what will be most helpful to them as leaders and to the parents in their congregations. And the great thing is I learn alongside them. So Shine is learning alongside the leaders that are doing these leaders listening projects. The second level of involvement is a sort of a modest level of involvement, and that we're calling the round tables. This is where a pastor or lay leader pledges to share our card deck, our Follow the Peace Path card deck that we've released this summer, with the families of their congregation, and then bring those families into Zoom meetings where the families tell us what they like about the card deck, what would work better for them, and any other suggestions that they have for us for at-home resources. So the roundtable then becomes a way to hear directly from both church leaders and the families in their congregations who use the cards, and it gives us an opportunity to build relationships with these folks. And then the third level that we're offering, or will offer very soon, is just a quick and easy web survey for people to fill out. And this is for, again, for those who are using the cards at home. It's a brief survey that gives us the same kind of feedback that we're asking for in the roundtables. And we're hoping that it will be easy and convenient for lots of people to use this little survey. So those are the three things that we're offering currently. And I would say that this is kind of our summer initiative. And then for the coming school year, Joan and I are working together to design a program that we're calling Shine Everywhere Partners, where again, we have church leaders making the decision to covenant with us for a year or two at a time. And for this partnership, Shine would provide resources for families to use at home, and the congregational partner would help us distribute those resources and then facilitate the collecting of feedback from the families who are using them. And through the partner program, we'll provide just a kind of a variety of opportunities to the congregation and their families for networking, for training, for some coaching from me. And in exchange, the families use and give feedback on the products we create for them. So in that way, we hope to be creating ever more relevant and attractive resources for that families want to use. So that's a little bit of a summary of where we're at with Shine Everywhere right now. It's a work in progress, and we're excited about it and excited to introduce these opportunities to our congregations and families. As we sort of wrap up our podcast here together today, Joan and Joyce, one of the practices that we like here at Shine is wondering. So I'm gonna share my wondering, what I wonder about as I think about this book and as I think about how we apply it to our current context and our work together. And then I would like you two to also share something that you're wondering about. One of the things that I'm pondering a lot lately is there actually maybe a greater disconnect between what congregations offer and what parents desire post-COVID? The research for this book was all done pre-COVID, and their conclusion says that parents seem largely satisfied with what their congregations are offering them. However, we know that the pandemic really tested families' readiness to teach faith at home, and it tested the relationship between folks and their congregations. One study that was done post-COVID showed that congregations were slow to create resources collaboratively with parents. They tended to share resources with parents that were designed for use in the at church on Sunday morning as opposed to in the home. And this study showed that what parents really want from their congregations now is not so much resources, but relationships. So I'm wondering about that and pondering what that means for how we do Shine Everywhere. Joyce,
And
what are you wondering?
I think my wondering is similar because I'm wondering how we can continue to work at creating spaces in our faith communities where families can build relationships and then find supportive spaces for nurturing their children's faith. Then they won't need to feel that the responsibility is on them alone, and they can have a community of solidarity to identify with.
Love that. Joan.
Jana, you talked a little bit earlier about the importance of families and parents talking together with their children about their faith and values. And so I'm wondering what resources parents need and want to help them talk with their children about their faith. And I wonder how churches can equip and encourage parents to talk about their faith with their children.
Yes, amen. Same. Well, thank you both for this great conversation. To our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed listening to Shine Faith Talk. You can visit Shine at our website at shinecurriculum.com or our brand new Shine Everywhere website at shineeverywhere.com. So you can learn more about our Faith at Home initiative there. Let us know your thoughts about this book or suggest other topics you'd like to consider by sending us an email at contact@shinecurriculum.com, or you can visit us on our Facebook page. In the book's conclusion, Smith and Adamczyk write, "If there were only one practical takeaway from our research, it would be this: parents need not only to walk the walk, but also regularly to talk with their children about their walk, why it matters, and why they care. Our hope is that through Shine Everywhere, parents and caregivers will be inspired and equipped to do just that."